listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Thursday, the 23rd day of May, year of our Lord, 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. This is also Monday the 27th, because we'll be playing this show as an archive on Memorial Day, Monday the 27th. Your prepper tip of the day. I want to encourage all of you to check out your everyday carry items, whatever that is for you. Typically, for most men and many women, it would be a pistol, a knife, a flashlight, possibly other items. Make sure that they're in good working order, properly cleaned, sharpened, lubricated, whatever it might be for that particular item, that the flashlight's in good working order. I keep an extra battery attached to my flashlight, so I always have a flashlight that will work. It seems like those batteries fail you at the worst possible time. This will be a special show. It's going to get a lot of attention, and the first of many, I hope. Our special guest this morning is my friend Dan Page, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page. I've known Dan for about 31 years. I believe it was about 1988 that we met. We've had somewhat parallel careers and have gotten to know each other and worked together on different projects. And we're going to begin this conversation with Dan giving us a summary of his military career. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Really good. Dan, you enlisted in the United States Army in what year, sir?
I went into the Army. I received my draft notice in late 69, and I was inducted July the 27th, 1970.
Okay, so the Vietnam War was still raging at that time, beginning to wind down, but still pretty heavy combat. You did not end up going to Vietnam, though, did you, sir?
No, I didn't. I had orders for it, but I was, for whatever reason, I was diverted to Germany, where I served in the 8th Infantry Division Pathfinders.
Well, that may have saved your life, and I'm glad that's where you ended up. So that was 1969, and you retired in what year, sir?
Well, actually, I like I say, I got my notice in 69, but I didn't actually go on active duty until July of 70. And between 1970, I was on active duty from 1970 for the most part until about 1979, 80. And then I got out and I got into some other line of work, a police officer specifically. And I stayed out for about 18 months and I went back in June, I think the 6th, 1981, where I stayed there into 2015 for the most part.
Okay, and that was as U.S. Army Reserve, which we served both reserve status and active status off and on during that period of time, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Now, a lot of people, even many military veterans, they don't know what a command sergeant major is. In fact, they've never heard of such a thing. Tell us what a command sergeant major is.
Well, he just that. He commands. I started out, as you know, you have E0 through E9, and the command sergeant and a sergeant major is the E9. As an officer is O1 through O9, that'd be the general of the Army. So wherever you have a battalion commander or above, which would be a O5, you will have a sergeant major. And what the sergeant major does is exactly that. He commands. As compared to an operations sergeant major, he has to serve at least a battalion level, and that ranges in strength from as little as 80 up to about 1,400 people. So he's in command of those troops. He's primarily responsible for the welfare of the troops, the promotions, holds promotion boards, awards, decorations, and uniform policies and things like that.
Okay. Now, one of your many, many assignments was to be in Bosnia when that unpleasantness was going on there. And you, one of your jobs in that capacity was liaison with the Russian Soviet Union Spetsnaz. Tell us how you, your first encounter with the Russian Spetsnaz and how that go.
Well, I was in Bosnia. When the World Trade Towers was attacked, I was stationed at Eagle Base up in the northern part of the Balkans, and it's called M&D North, and that theater of conflict was broken down into three different sections. You had the English section, the French section, the Russian section, the American section, and mine was with the Russians. And I didn't know it at the time, but they were actually Spetsnaz up there that we were actually working with, because I was in a special operations company. Now, I'm not a Green Beret, but due to my status, I served with them there in the NCO chain of command. And so we dealt with them on a regular basis. And I got to tell you, they're some hard people. I mean, they are really, really hard group of men.
Well, there's something I learned recently. I just read a book written by a former Spetsnaz officer. And what he says, Dan, in their protocols, when they're out in the field, let's say there's a dozen Spetsnaz on a field operation and they're on a cross-country on foot. If one of them sprains an ankle and can't keep up, they put them down. They carry with them hypodermic syringes with chemicals that puts you to a happy, happy sleep that you never wake up from. They kill their own people if they can't keep up. Now, that's pretty hardcore, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I can tell you, when I was there, the two times that I was sent to the Balkans, first off, they train with live ammunition. They do not train. Now, again, this is back in the late 90s, okay, mid-90s, late 90s. They train with live ammo. They when a Spetsnaz comes to war, he's already been through war. And when we went up to a place called Doboj and Comanche Base, as we called them, they were putting on a Spetsnaz special forces training for hand-to-hand combat. And John, they were using real knives, and they were tearing each other apart. I mean, it was a bloodbath there.
I bet. Now, Dan, something, tell us, first of all, were all these espouse nuts, were they all Caucasians? Was there other, any other races mixed in with them?
Well, the average Sputsnaz that I was, because I don't think I want to give the name out of the colonel I served with up there, but they're all about 5'10" average. They're about 175 to 180 pounds, light brown hair, blue eyed, and they got a thick neck, and they can run you to death. Because we did PT together up there, and that's about the size of them, and they speak perfect English. If I had to put a dialect on it, I would say the Missouri dialect, Nebraska, perfect. There was no intonations to their speech, Southern, anything like. It's absolutely the most perfect English that you can use.
Would it be a fair statement to say that many of them speak better English than my hillbilly neighbors?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. Well, I knew what the answer would be. Now,
yeah, something
that surprised and shocked me that you found out about was the Sputsnaz having and training with American military uniforms. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they do wear American uniforms quite frequently when they do their training. They're well aware of all ranks, insignia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, again, this is back then. I can't say anything about today. But, yes, they do use American seat in something that the people don't know about. But in U.S. Army Special Operations Command, you can wear whatever uniform you want if the commander authorizes it. I mean, we wore civilian clothing to do some of the operations that we were on. And you're typical. So you got the big army in the U.S. Then you got the little army within the army. And we can pretty much do, at that time, we could pretty much do whatever we wanted.
Right. Well, when I was in Special Forces, I would routinely wear a French military uniform, which was a tiger stripe camouflage that was used in Vietnam, which is actually a French camouflage. So you're right. Whatever it takes to get the job done, you do what you need to do in Special Forces, right?
That's correct.
So, were you invited to consume vodka with these Russian Sputsnaz?
I tell you what, I got so drunk I couldn't find my backside with somebody guiding my hands with that stuff. We, being a special operations, we got invited with the Russian combat. See, first off, you have and I didn't know this, John, you have a Russian commander of all forces. Then they have what they call a combat commander. And we have since adopted that into the American military since then. And anyway, so we got invited to go up at their sector of offense, and they have this special thing you go through. You go into a sauna, you go out and drink some more, then you come back to the sauna. You go back and forth like that. I ended up drinking along with other people there, the colonel and his men, and we had one guy from Chechnya there, and he was interesting. And we ended up drinking two big liters of I always forget the name. It looks like vodka, but it's worse. Srebrenica or something like that.
Right.
And a case of beer. And by the time I got back to Eagle Base, I didn't know where I was at.
Now, at some point in your interaction with the Sputsnaz troops, they were bragging about what their activities in the future would be inside the United States. Tell us about that.
Well, can I tell you the end of the story before I tell you the...
Oh, sure, absolutely.
The first part of it? Okay. The colonel was very, very definite in his advocacy or his dissertation of what was going to happen to the U.S. over the next 25 to 30 years. So I'm going to give you the end of the story before I tell you the start of it.
Oh, just for clarification, you're talking about a Russian colonel.
Yeah, a Russian colonel, right.
Right, okay.
He said if there is not a time where you must invade a country for expediency's sake, and you got all the time in the world, there's no need to lose troops if you don't have to. So here's what he said is going to happen to the U.S. He said, number one, that we may be absorbed into a European Union type situation with other countries, the rapture could occur. We could have an economic collapse. There could be war, or there could be a natural disaster that's going to destroy us. But he says one of those five things is going to happen to you Americans because of what's going to come over the next 25 years. And I'm sure you're familiar with somebody called Sun Tzu.
Oh, yes. I just listened to an audio version of his book on my trip to Cincinnati 2 weekends ago.
Okay, well, along with him comes another guy named Clausewitz.
Clausewitz.
And the colonel, the colonel talked a good deal about the Communist Manifesto of 1847-1848. And in there, it pretty much lays out a communist takeover of the West. And we just sat and talked about this, and he said, the only regret that I have, Sergeant Major, is that you and I are not going to get to kill each other. He says, I've always wanted to fight an American on the battlefield, and he says, you're going to go off into the sunset without even a whimper. And I looked at him, I said, well, you want to try some of this on right now? And he said, no. But I spent over a year with that man listening to his political thought. And, John, we are there, exactly where he said.
Now, in the U.S. Army, a colonel is as high a rank as you can get and still be part of active special forces. Once you get your first star, you basically become an administrator and no longer take part in the day-to-day activities of special forces. Is it the same with the Russian special forces?
Yeah, pretty much. That is a very young man's job. I mean, I was in really good shape, and I'm still not too bad today, but nothing like that. That is a tremendously, to get into the special forces back then, and to go into the Army Special Forces, and you know this yourself, you had to have an IQ of at least 115 to get into the system.
Right.
When President Bush come over, he lowered that down to 98 because he said there was not enough people of color. And when Obama came in, he lowered it down, I think, to 75. Now, I may be wrong about that, okay? But that's what I understand at, you know, where it's at today. So you're right. After Colonel, you ain't there no more.
It's a little humor. If any given U.S. Army base or even Air Force, if something really big and really expensive gets stolen, the first thing the general commander of the base will ask his adjutant, are there any Green Berets on this base?
Very true. Right? Very true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very true.
Oh, yeah.
Very true.
So you're interacting with this colonel pretty much almost 7 days a week for a full year. You got to know each other pretty well, didn't you?
Exactly. It wasn't just me. My battalion commander was always there. And then I dealt with his counterpart, which they really don't have per se. They don't have the NCO leadership that we have back here in the U.S. military. So I was with him quite a bit, yes.
Well, tell us more about what he said was coming 20 to 25 years in the future, which, of course, would be right now.
Well, I can give you a very brief thing. Then if you find something afterwards and you want to talk about it, just stop me. But he laid out a phase four plan that he said was going to happen to us. And phase one goes back to the Communist Manifesto, and it deals with the female. Now, in America, John, the female's not going to like what I'm going to say, but it is nonetheless a fact, okay? And here's what he said. He said the female must be liberated from the domestic housewife position. And through this, once you get her out of the house, you can demean her, and I can go into that a little bit later if you want. He says you must encourage her to have abortion. You must encourage her to become a political activist. And you must get her to claim that she's being abused in some way or another. Now, all this is under phase one, and it's called deception, okay?
Right.
The next thing he says you're going to have wrong turned into right and right into wrong so that the truth is abrasive. He said,
hold that thought. Hold that thought, Dan. We've got a break.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That website's goldwealthfinancial.com. There's a link at my website, thelibertyman.com. I know you've been investing in brass, ordnance, steel, and lead for years. It's time to move forward and also invest in gold and silver. Go to Steve's website, goldwealthfinancial.com. Download the free Rookie Mistakes Guide. If you don't have internet access, I know many of you don't, give him a call, and he'll mail you a copy of it. It's beautiful, 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Steve has put together a great team of men and women that really know their stuff, can help you learn about how to invest in gold and silver safely, economically, and do it the right way. You'll be very glad to work with Steve and his people. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. And I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Thursday, the 23rd of May, and also Monday, the 27th, Memorial Day. Dan, the colonel, the Spetsnaz colonel, was laying out the entire program. It sounds like what I've already known for many, for decades. The Russians make plans decades in advance, don't they, sir?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Right.
So, before the break, we were talking about degradation of the nuclear family, liberating women from being the homemaker, the mother, putting them in the workforce. And what was the goal of getting these women in the workforce again?
Well, the goal. See, this comes under what they call the three pillars of society. That's your faith, the family, and your faith to be treated justly before the government. And the Russian colonel was explaining to me that to understand communism, John, you have to understand the dialect, and briefly stated that's how it works, okay? And by getting the female out of her natural environment, okay, she will get into the world, which Now, the American people are not going to like this, but it is, I think there is some basis for that. She's not emotionally or physically prepared to really get into the workforce and fight every day emotionally or physically with the world out there. She's more geared under the Creator God's concept of being a homemaker. So if you destroy her, the children have to go into some state-sponsored child care service or whatever, and then they implant the ideas into the kid's head, and the family has nothing to do with the upbringing of the child. That's basically what the colonel was saying.
Well, you know, Dan, I'm at a point in my life where I know any number of women, 65, 70, 72, 73 years old, who had quite successful professional careers. Now they're retired with no children, no husband, and a cat. And,
right.
And they go back to their workplace where they were for 20, 30 years. A year or two later, the receptionist doesn't even know who they are.
Well, you know, he wasn't saying that they couldn't go out and be successful, because that's who you are. But he said the two main goals of that was to get the woman out of the house so they can create more revenue to promote communism. And then if you go look into the workforce, the Army right now, when my last duty assignment was in North Africa, we had around 200-300 women, and John, every one of them was on some psychotropic drug. As a
really?
Policeman, every with no exception, all the women in the police force were on some psychotropic drug. So what he was saying is that's how you demean her, by giving her a false sense of security that she's as capable as a man to do these things, and she's not. And by getting her out of the workforce, they create more revenue to spread more communism, to addict people more to government, daily support. So he laid out this four-phase plan, and I can go through those very quick if you want me to.
Yeah, let's do that. We got about three minutes before the bottom of the hour break.
Okay, then let me breeze through this real quick. Okay, he talked about, we called it deception, but he called it deception. We called it political correctness. That means you are to shut up if you know I have the right to say what I want, but you can't have the right to say what you want. He says one of the phases that's going to happen to you is you're going to remove all historic monuments, because they don't want you to remember your past. They have to downplay the dominant culture. They have to remove all means so that you can defend against the state. They have to create dependency. In other words, they're attacking the culture. He said that they have to create special hate crime and hate speech. And what this comes under is an old communist doctrine.
I need to stop you for a moment. In 1999... this colonel's talking about hate crime and hate speech. Nobody in this country ever heard of such a thing back then.
Well, he's ahead of this. This guy was he used to teach at the military academy, and I think University of Moscow, and he taught how to destroy a nation from within and make it think their idea and a great idea. Okay. And again, I'm going to go through these very quick, because I know we're short on time here.
Right.
But there's something called the thesis. And what that means in modern language is you create the problem or exploit the problem. The second part of that is antithesis. That means you advertise the problem. And the last part is synthesis. That means you offer the solution.
Right.
And then he went into something. He says you have to create a poverty. He says you have to accuse the dominant culture of special privileges, such as white privilege, affirmative action, blah, 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 those kind of things like that. He said you have to have a victim and an oppressor. But this one here really got me now. He said that he said your borders are going to be eliminated.
Whoa.
And he says the way...
Okay.
And here's how he said they're going to do that.
So let's talk about the borders being eliminated. We'll get back from the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the energy cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, we're back. Gentlemen, Jared Moore here on Thursday the 23rd and Memorial Day the 27th. My website is thelibertyman.com. I'm going to start my Memorial Day sale early this time because we have archive Monday. The energy cleaner, $25 off. Mattress pads, 10% off. This goes until midnight Monday, Memorial Day, midnight the 27th of May. When you place your order, you'll be paying full price. I refund the difference manually. So the energy cleaner sale begins immediately, $25 off energy cleaners, 10% off mattress pads, and just get those orders in. Visiting my friend, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, we're talking about the protocols, the mission statement, the goals of the Russian Spetsnaz and the what's now the Russian Federation. Well, Dan, you must have been a bit shocked and surprised to have this man telling you what the future held, weren't you?
Yes, I was, but I understood later, John, why he was saying that. There's nothing we can do about it at this point. That's why I read the end of the story to you at first.
Right.
We're at that point of no return. They were extremely competent. And we have to understand, John, that we lost the Vietnam War because college professors on on campus, and those long-haired hippie-type people, not that I have anything against long-haired people, but they are now senators, congressmen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So in my opinion, it's already happened. The American people just don't see it, but we are already there.
Dead man walking.
Yes, we are. We just don't know it yet. You want me to go ahead and finish this thing here?
Let's continue. We got some time. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, but before I do this, let me explain to you something that he told me that I had not thought about, and that he talked about the political party system. See, he said that we have a single political party with two factions. He said we had a Democrat. He said you have Democratic communists and fascist Republicans. He talked about how that they both want to bring in their own form of government, but they play off each other, one step forward, one step backward. And the Republican fascists are into monitoring everything that you do. He says you're going to be monitored, blah, blah, blah. Excuse me, I have a cold. And the Democratic communists want to bring it in under their power, but they don't care which one, but they want to destroy the Republic as you and I currently know it. So back to this now. The first thing they're going to do is start going into joint task force with police departments.
Right.
Whenever we go to all future wars, we'll be coalition forces. And if you remember, George W. Bush took the American Star off all of our military vehicles. No longer do you see a star on all of our military. You know, when you and I was in the military, we had the star on there. But the star is all gone now. We have to remove the Pledge of Allegiance from all schools, and we have to implement mass migration. Okay.
Now the colonel specifically mentioned removing the Pledge of Allegiance from American public schools.
Oh yeah, sure. But John, that's common warfare tactics. That's, you know, when we was over there in Bosnia, we commanded all of the radio statements, and people think that they're hearing unbiased news. That's not what happened. We have mobile vans that we go in, and we bring in a talking head or a useful idiot or a noted citizen, and we would prep them on what we want to broadcast to the nation, and we would play them off each other to make them think that these people were opposing each other, and we did the same thing with the politicians, you know, such as Milosevic. We played them off of each other, but they were doing what we wanted them to do. That's the same thing that we did in Egypt during the Arab Spring uprising with Obama. We were totally in control of that.
Okay, and that put the military in charge of Egypt.
Well, pretty much, but, you know, it doesn't come across like that because you use the talking heads and the useful idiots up front. That's people that the civilian population knows, but the U.S. military is actually behind the scenes in the shadow and in the Balkans controlling this. You know, we still have bases in Kosovo and places like that. They're still there doing the same thing.
Now, I don't want to, we're going to have more conversations in the future, but let's get back to what the colonel was revealing to you in these conversations.
Yeah. But here's basically what he said to sum it up, because I know we got some time here. He said that there is a four-phase plan to destroy the United States, and you know this is what the Soviet Union doctrine was. It's just basically a four-phase. First off, you create an unnecessary warfare someplace. Now, I'm going to make this about as simple as I know how to do it. When you go to war or you have a champion, you send your best people. Is that not true?
Of course you do. You want to win.
Okay. Well, within the military and police departments and things like that, you typically have your more aggressive males. You would call them alpha males or bravo males.
Right.
And he said, what you want to do is to get them out of the country so that they cannot resist invading forces during phase five of the operation. He said, so you want to create unnecessary war so you can kill or destroy the Alpha Bravo male. That's number one. He said, secondly, all military academies, and I've been through all of them, all military academies in the world teach that a woman, a female, will betray you under certain given conditions. Phase three, he said, is mass migration. He says you have to overload the U.S. with mass migration in order to cripple it economically. This is called the Clove and Piven concept. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes.
Okay. Phase four is after you do all these other things we've talked about, that's when you bring in your main body, and you have 60 hours to do certain things. I can break them down if you want me to.
Please do, yes.
Okay. The very first 24 hours of an invading force, now this is Spetsnaz we're talking about, they're going to kill all noted people, such as mayors, chiefs of police, and they're going to focus on pastors and Christians and things like that, because in times of crisis, the world has learned that your faith will carry you through some trying times. So that's the first 24 hours, okay?
Right.
The second 24 hours is they're going to seize all food distribution points, communications, water, you know, the things that people depend upon.
Right.
The third phase, they're going to go into the cities and they're going to, the large cities, and they're going to recruit gangs to do most of their killing for them. They're going to promise them the whatever, okay?
Well, that recruitment would probably take place weeks, if not months beforehand, so it's all in place ahead of time.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, there's going to be, you know, groundwork for that, yes.
Right.
And then the last phase is when they come in and they start segregating families and things of that sort like that. So that's pretty much standard, you know, military procedures there.
When you say segregating families, you mean forcing them from their homes and then separating the men from the women?
Yes, children, things like that. Anybody over 12 will be the man and woman will go into theirs, and then, but anybody under 12, they under 12 are not going to survive this probably.
Children under age 12 will not survive?
Probably not. Because of the violence.
Because of the violence? Okay.
Right. Because violence, you know war. You've been to there. I mean, you understand
yes.
how that is.
Well, children always suffer the worst. That's a given. That's happened in every war forever.
Well, that and old people. Really old.
Yeah, well, yeah. Once you get to a certain point. Well, Dan, of course, the question, we got people listening literally all over the planet, and including the Pentagon, by the way. How deep into this program being implemented are we, if you have any idea at all?
Well, first off, this is just my opinion. We're there now. It ain't coming. It's here.
Now, I've got reports from reliable sources, Dan, of Russian Spetsnaz having established covert operational bases here in this country, about 8,000 operational bases. If you only had six men per location, that'd be 48,000, which is, I think, really on the low end. And I've personally confirmed this. I've been to a couple of these places and driven past them in person. So they're here. The goal of every general, if they can, is to pre-position men, supplies, equipment inside the territory of the enemy before the fighting takes place. If they can do that, that's always their goal, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Every army always pre-positions, everything. But again, keep in mind that your special operations unit, if they can't carry it, they don't need it. So everything's on their back. The big stuff, they have to pre-position. You're absolutely correct.
Well, they've done that. The Russian Spetsnaz has pre-positioned men in covert bases under cover with equipment, supplies, everything they need. So when the balloon goes up, as we say, they're ready to do what they need to do and not have to travel more than 10 or 20 miles, right?
That's correct. Absolutely.
So they're here. We've got these locations, these economic free trade zones that the Chinese and Russians have. A Chinese free trade zone is actually sovereign Chinese real estate, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The highway that, you know, I've done several tours down in Honduras and places like that. And the highway, the NAFTA highway, as you call it, is sovereign territory. It actually belongs to a Chinese a corporation. It doesn't actually belong to the U.S.
Well, that highway goes from where to where?
As I understand it, it ends in Kansas City, Missouri. I think they call it the Kansas City Smart Port. I believe it's 110 acres of sovereign territory there with a Mexican embassy on it, I believe. Now, I might be wrong on that, but I believe that's where it's at.
You're talking about the I-35 corridor then, aren't you?
Correct.
Right. Well, that's a very scary thing. Once you get on the I-35 corridor, going north, you're pretty much in the middle of the country and can go east-west from there, and, of course, farther north if you choose to, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Now, if a column of a division of Russian tanks was coming north on the corridor, short of nuclear weapons, what do we have that could stop them?
Nothing, because I don't know if the American people knows this or not, but the overwhelming majority of equipment is pre-deployed in the Middle East. Now, we do have equipment back here, but nothing in mass numbers. Now, we've got tanks for training, down at Fort Campbell and places like that, or Fort Knox, where they do the armor training at. But the overwhelming majority of heavy equipment, John, is in Saudi Arabia. It's not here.
Right. Well, I seriously doubt American military would use nuclear, even tactical nukes, on American soil. I can't say it would not happen at all, but it would be highly unlikely that we'd use even tactical nukes on American soil.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's highly unlikely.
No. So what I'm saying is, I think that they would.
Say again?
I think that they would use nukes.
Well, whatever it takes, if it means losing our country or turning a few hundred acres into a nuclear wasteland with a small tactical nuke, you do what you got to do in war. This would be called a Red Dawn invasion, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is. And what I'm saying to you, I don't think they're going to resist, John. I think that unless it's patriots, with what we have in Washington, D.C., and state governments, John, they are going to accept this. When you look at the college campuses today, 45 to 50% are accepting socialism. Now, communism is the ruling government, but socialism is the economic wing. Like, we are a Republican government, but we have a capitalist form of government. People are dying to bring in socialism, John.
Right. Well, they really don't understand how the end game of socialism is a boot in your face forever. They don't understand that or know that, but they support something they don't quite understand. But that support is still real nonetheless, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. See, people really, John, do not want to hear what you have to say about this, because you've only got about 10 seconds, because that's the average American's a concentration time span. And they just really do not want to hear this. All they want to hear is what you're going to do for me today, and that's the wrong attitude.
Exactly. That's what we're seeing in these presidential races. Well, Dan, going back to something that's been revealed publicly, even in mainstream media, is illegal aliens being caught on the southern border with American police uniforms in their possession. Now, that's happened as recently as the last 3 to 4 weeks. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am.
So I already know what the reason would be, but tell us, why in the world, if you're traveling cross country with a backpack, why would you have American police uniforms in your possession? What would that reason be?
Well, the reason is quite simple. Is so you can infiltrate different places of security. if you have a generation plant you want to get in there, a policeman's uniform will do it because people will open the door for them automatically. You could get in with the police department and just cause all kind of havoc. You could get into the communication system. You could take control of it. You know things like that.
Right, right. So the illegal alien speaking perfect English with the El Paso or Tucson or whatever police uniform could walk right into the central communications for the police, fire, and emergency services, and either destroy it or take it over, couldn't they?
That's correct. And right now, John, keep in mind that the Patriot has been put into silence. That is to say that unless you speak out against these things and take action, this is going to happen. Right now, there's no other way to say this. A Caucasian male has to just shut up and not say nothing because
hold
the minute
thought,
he opens
Dan.
His
hold
mouth.
That thought. We got a break. We got our last break. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's ANGIOPRIM.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
All right, we're back in Jeremy on Thursday, the 23rd of May. It's also Monday, the 27th, because of the archive being played. Dan, we've got another half hour here after the top of the hour, if you can hang in here until my next guest comes on board with us. Is that doable for you?
Yeah, I can do that, yeah.
Okay, well, let's continue, because I know people are at the edge of their seat listening to our conversation, which is going to be the first of many future conversations, but we need to get as much as we can out this first time because, quite frankly, we don't know how much time we've got, do we, sir?
No, we don't. Can I give you two statutes that your listeners may be interested in that's all part of this?
Absolutely. These are federal, U.S. federal code?
No, this is going to be, I'm just going to work at the state level right now.
Okay.
I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but every state is considered a sovereign republic within the United States. We're just united in an association type thing, a compact, but we are still a sovereign. Each state is a sovereign republic, and each state has a code for treason, and the Missouri State Treason Code is what they call RSMO 576070. I say again, that's 576070. Now, the reason I bring that up is any political person that's an elected official or any sovereign citizen or any citizen that proposes a law or does any action that jeopardizes the national the security of the state of Missouri can be charged with treason. Okay?
Now, would it be a fair statement the other 49 states have a similar statute regarding treason as well?
Yes, they do. Now, that's just that's Missouri state statute. What I'm saying is any politician that proposes a law that undermines Missouri's security can be charged with treason. Now, they can try to hide it in political rhetoric, but they cannot under the statute. Now, the next thing is a statute that covers in the state of Missouri what they call domestic abuse. Now, that statute number is 565073, 565073. Now, the reason I bring this up to you, and I'll go through these very fast, and you will see, John, how this undermines the security of the state of Missouri. Now, St. Louis County has broken these down into individual sections. You can be charged with domestic abuse for unlawful possession of stolen property within your own family, disturbance of the peace within your own family, domestic disturbance of peace within your family, domestic trespassing within your own house, domestic harassment within your own house, domestic stalking within your own house, domestic tampering with a witness in your own house. Can you see how this undermines the security of the state of Missouri?
Absolutely. Well, children have figured this out where they call authorities if the parent disciplines them, haven't they?
Right. Now, when I was back in Bosnia, John, we had in-depth conversations about this very, very...
We'll have to continue this after the break. Everybody stay tuned.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.